Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. What an exciting Sunday. My heart is just so full. And it's difficult for me today to wrap my mind around how so much love can be in this room with so few people. But it's a good thing. You know, God has been preparing us for this moment for quite some time, and we are excited to receive it and to step into it with confidence that even greater things are yet to come. Let's start out with a word of prayer. God, today I am thankful for these. I'm thankful for these babies and for these parents, for these grandparents and for these church members. Collectively, we just thank you with hearts of gratitude that you are in this place with a plan and with a purpose. And we pray that each and every one of us today have minds open, hearts open, hands open, ears open, and eyes open to receive everything that you have for us in this place on this day. Today's appointed. We are here today in this place, surrounded by these people for a purpose. Let us receive every gift that you have for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's scripture passage revolves around questions about Sabbath. You know that the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy or set apart. But what does that mean? What are we supposed to do or not do on the Sabbath? And why should that even matter to us here today? And is this scripture just a passage about Sabbath, or is there a deeper meaning that we need to consider? Before we get to the story, can I tell you something about the Pharisees that you may not know? They were the liberal mainline Protestants in ancient Judaism. Now, let me explain. Pharisees thought that God should be accessible to all. Wait, what? Aren't they the ones that were making all kinds of rules and regulations that were so prohibitive and restrictive? Well, yes. But you have to understand their motive behind making those restrictions. They believed that God should be accessible to all, and they worked to find a way of doing so. Now, the church, the priests, the Sadducees, the Essenes, they believed that access to God could come only through the church or an appointed person or process of the church. The Pharisees devised rules and procedures to make God accessible to every individual without the need of a human mediator. Other things to understand are that Jesus was a Jew. It was a customary Jewish practice to wrestle with the interpretation of Scripture with other Jews. That's how they came to an accurate assessment, through civil discourse, talking, listening, disagreeing, talking more, listening more, until they came to a common understanding. Over the course of the last few weeks, we've talked several times about how a minimum of seven people would gather in the synagogue. They would read a passage of Scripture. They would share their commentary on the Scripture, and back and forth, they would have this discussion or discourse until they came to common ground. The first dispute revolves around food. The disciples pick grain, they rub them in their hands, and then they eat them. Now, that would have been considered work: harvesting, threshing, and consuming. You aren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. You are supposed to rest on the Sabbath. The Pharisees had devised a list of appropriate and inappropriate activities that were designed to make sure that you stayed at rest and connected with God and avoided work. Now, I love Jesus' response because I'm a mom and I recognize this one. You moms here are going to recognize this one as well. I consider this one of those little tidbits that's a Jesus treasure for us. So listen up. David and his friends ate bread out of the presence, and that was only for the priest, and he didn't get in trouble. Again, I think this one's just included for us moms today. The next time your kids use that line, but mom, he did it, and he didn't get in trouble, you can respond with, yeah, well, Jesus used that line also, and it didn't work for him either. Again, I think that's one of those little Jesus snippets just for us moms. Then he follows up with, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. What does that even mean? Well, Mark 2:27 says it this way. The Sabbath was made for man, not the man for Sabbath. Sabbath is God's gift to you. It's a day of rest and recovery. It's a time to enjoy creation, food, fellowship, those things that minister to our soul and connect us to God. Sabbath wasn't created as an obligation or a burden. It's God's gift to be received with joy. Doesn't mean it's not a struggle to get to Sabbath. I bet getting here this morning was a struggle for some of you, even those that are watching online. Getting the kids dressed and ready and out of the door, or even in front of the TV in their PJs, it's work. But the hope of Sabbath is that the connection at the conclusion will be so incredible that all the work that it took to get there was worth it. Another Sabbath question revolved around healing. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and a man came in with a withered hand, and they were watching him. And that caught my attention, because a lot of times we say, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Just focus on Jesus, and everything will be okay. But it's more than that. It's also about motive. Why are we watching? The Pharisees were watching so that they could accuse. Is your motive to know and to understand Jesus so well that you can imitate and look just like him? Or is your motive to be right, to win, to prove that your theology is accurate, to make sure that others know that your way is the way? Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man, come and stand here. And he got up, and he stood there. It's important to take a stand. It's just that these days, it seems like everyone is. We're either standing on this side of the fence or on that side of the fence. So maybe we need to consider that these days, what's needed most are people who are willing to be a bridge. Jesus said, stand here. And he stood there. This faith thing, it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a process. And you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. No one has all the answers except for Jesus. You're going to understand and you're going to misunderstand. You're going to be confident that you have it completely right, only to learn that you've had it completely wrong. Our constant is Jesus. Our bridge is Jesus. Nothing more and nothing less. In Jesus, we find grace and mercy, forgiveness, and change. Transformation of our heart and of our mind. Transformation for others, but also all of those things for ourselves as well. And Jesus asks the question, is it lawful to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? Now, we should be asking that question more often. Am I doing good or am I doing harm? Am I saving life or am I destroying it? And Jesus healed the man's hand, and they were filled with fury. and they discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Why the reaction? Why the rage? Can I tell you what I think? Because they were invested in their way of doing things, and as hard as they had tried, as good as their motives might have been, they missed the mark, and they couldn't or wouldn't accept it or believe it. Let's face it, it's a hard thing to admit that we've messed up, especially when we've tried really hard to get it right, and even more so when what we've been doing has been successful for a long period of time. Have you ever considered that for at least a time, the Pharisees' method may have been exactly what God had designed? God didn't intend for us to connect through a mediator other than Jesus. The Pharisees were right in that part. Man didn't need to connect through a priest or through a process of the church. Where they got it wrong was that they could design a plan to connect man with God. God already had a plan, and that plan was the mediator of Jesus Christ. We can be pretty hard on other groups, but the reality is we are all guilty. We think that our way is the best way, our denomination, our methods, our understanding, our theology. We all know that church disagreements are not a thing of the past. Traditional, contemporary, band or organ, hymns or praise music, theological differences, worship practices, who's in, who's out. We are just as guilty as the Pharisees of shifting our focus off of Jesus and onto our ways of connecting to God. And Jesus went to a mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. If Jesus needed to retreat to the mountaintop and spend a night in prayer, it is pretty certain that we are in need of those times also. Now, Luke doesn't tell us what Jesus was praying about, but it does tell us what followed that prayer. Jesus called the disciples, those that he would teach and train, and he gave them even another calling and purpose. He called them apostles, those who would be sent off with that training and teaching to train and teach others as well. It gives us a list of the names of those apostles, and that list gives us some very special insight. Each would have a story. Simon would become Peter and would transform into someone new. Some would be close by Jesus' side and a large part of the story. Others would be distant and rarely seen. One was listed as a zealot, one who had zeal for the Lord, and another, a traitor. Two are listed as the son of, which is especially significant for us today. These babies, these parents, these grandparents, you are called. You are given an assignment. You are writing a story. And those stories are connected one another with the ultimate goal of helping us to connect to God, who deeply desires to be connected to us all. How we do church, how we go about being a part of connecting others to God, it matters. And today we are reminded that we can't get so stuck in our ways of doing things that we ever forget who is in charge of guiding that process. May we be ever mindful that God is in control, that God allows us to join in the amazing work that he's doing in the world, and that happens as we connect with others in any way that God ordains. This service came about in a very special way. I was thinking about the babies that had been born during the pandemic and realized that we had several that had been born during this time, and they were growing up fast, and we hadn't had a chance to meet them or welcome them into the world or bless them in their families, and that's so important. And I reached out, and I asked if that was important to them as well, And I was just overwhelmed by the response, because my vision, what I had in mind, as good as it was not as big as God's vision and what God had in mind. Sometimes society can be so negative about today's generation. We aren't just quick to pass judgment on Pharisees. We pass judgment on everyone. Parents these days, they're absent, they're uninvolved, they're work-focused, they're neglectful of their children. Not so. At least not with this group. And I am certain that this is representative of many. I'm going to highlight that later, but before I do, I want to share something very special with these who have chosen to recognize their children as gifts from God and seek the blessing of this church in raising them and being a family. 10 representatives of this congregation have recorded blessings for your families. Receive them into your hands just like you would any gift, and may it go from your hands into your hearts and minds. May they accomplish more than we could hope for or imagine. Receive now blessings offered by various members of this congregation.
Yother, Strom, Bowman, Sperry, Kaminsky, and Boyles families, may you know the joy that comes from caring for others. May your heart be open to the needs of people around you. May you give of yourself, helping those who need it, and carry the burden of your neighbors. Lorraine, Emily, Amelia, Beckham, Witness, Watchman, Lucas, Jojo, and Geraldine. Always remember, by helping someone else, you are truly serving God. May your life be filled with blessing. In Corinthians, we read that these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But because of you, today we have hope. Amen.
Bowman, Yother, Sperry, Boyles, Kaminsky, and Strom families, may you have the courage to take steps outside your comfort zone, trusting that God will be with you wherever you go. May you experience God's presence, faithfulness, and deep love for you as you learn to live as a family of faith.
Jojo, Geraldine, Lorraine, Emily, Amelia, Beckham, Lucas, Witness, and Watchman, may you know that even Jesus, though he was fully God, lived a life of service. May you become like him, having eyes to see the needs around you, a compassionate heart willing to respond, and the humility to serve, even in secret and in unglamorous ways.
Strom, Bowman, Kaminsky, Boyles, Sperry, and Yother families, may you understand the deep love God has for you. May you always remember he sent his one and only son so that you might live. May this example of love set the standard for the way you love each other and others throughout your lifetime. Never forget, God fills you with his love so you, in turn, can give that away to others.
Amelia, Lucas, Beckham, Emily, Lorraine, Watchman, Witness, Jojo, and Jerry Lynn, may you seek to intimately know your Creator and the author of your story. May your story, which was ordained before even one day came to be, glorify God as you share it with others. Always remember, you are part of the greatest story ever told.
Lorraine, Emily, Watchman, Witness, Beckham, Lucas, Jojo, Jerry Lynn, and Amelia. May you know that God is here and that He sees you. May you feel His presence, listen for His voice, and experience His great love. Know that God is mighty to save, and because of this, you never have to be afraid. May you have eyes to see God working all around you, and may you know and never forget that God is with you and that He wants you to know Him.
Emily, Lorraine, Witness, Beckham, Lucas, JoJo, Jerry Lynn, and Amelia, may you know and understand the mighty and powerful God who created the heavens and the earth, loves you, chose you, and has adopted you into His family. When things get hard, may you be strengthened by knowing that you belong to Him. Emily, Lorraine, Watchman, Witness, Beckham, Lucas, JoJo, Jerry Lynn, and Amelia, may you grow up with confidence in the fact that you are a child of God and that He created you in His wonderful image.
Sperry, Yother, Boyles, Bowman, Kaminsky, and Strom families, God has a course for you to follow. He has a plan and purpose for your lives. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Things in this world will try to draw you off course, but fix your eyes on the ultimate goal. Life may include hazards and troubles, but stay the course. May you find joy in the comfort that comes after the discomfort of correction. And may you feel the thrill of a life lived according to the course that was marked out for you.
Strom, Bowman, Boyle, Sperry, Yother, and Kaminsky families, God loves you beyond measure. God did not design for you to go through this life alone, but yet rather in community. Please remember that your faith community is here. We're here to support you through prayer. We're here to celebrate with you during happy times. Be on the lookout for ways to serve others in our community. When you do, you will be sharing the love God has freely bestowed upon you. Blessings to you all on this special day.
On this joyous occasion, to each of you, the Bowmans, the Stroms, the Yothers, the Sperrys, the Kaminskys, and the Boyles family, a final blessing. May you know that God loves you so much. His love for you is so deep that He entrusted you with being His model in this world. May you feel the weight of His responsibility, and may it also bring you great joy. Reflect God to everyone you meet through your words, actions, and your attitudes. God bless.